Now, this is David speaking to God. My version is going to be a little bit different, I think, than that, but it's close.
Is that better?
This is what David was saying to the Lord at this point in his life. He said, "I was foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like an animal to you. Yet, I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever." Hallelujah. I wanted to just give you some of my thoughts about that verse, and if you have anything you want to intermingle, want to share along with that, please feel free to. I'm probably going to do a little more reading on things I've written down than normal. But I wanted to make sure that I hit a number of different points here. So, here's one thing that I got out of this. When we disbelieve, doubt, stubbornly sin, sin without even realizing that we're sinning, we're still in His family. Isn't that something? He still loves us. He's not throwing us away when we don't do things perfectly. Isn't that something? David says, you know, I was foolish. I was ignorant. There were things I should know and I don't know. That's what being ignorant is, right? There are things about the Lord that we should know. There are things about the way we should act that pass over us. We're ignorant in lots of areas of our lives. Things we should know. And we miss it. But God, as David says, yet I still belong to you. What a great concept to have deep in your heart. David had that in his heart. Because every single one of us are sinners. Every single one of us fall short every single day. And the enemy of our soul is always going to be there to attack your mind and attack your heart and make you belittle you, try to tear you down, make you want to give up. But you know what helps us stay on top of things so that we can continue to run this race? God still loves us. Amen. Through everything. That doesn't mean that we should just do the way we want to do. But it sure helps us, doesn't it, to know that God has accepted us into His family. We are accepted in the Beloved. Isn't that something?
Thank you, Lord.
That is a sustaining thing that that we must stand on, because the dark thoughts that come to us when we miss the mark, when things aren't going right in our lives, and we start asking questions, God, why is this happening, and what's going on here, and why doesn't so-and-so understand what I mean? All different kinds of things happen in our lives. And we have to know one thing. God has not forsaken us. Right?
Amen.
That's a bedrock that we have to stand on. Here's another thing. What's that? If God treats us that way, right? If God treats us that when we mess up a lot, when we're not growing as fast as we should or could, we still belong to Him. He still sees us for who we are going to become. For us as a child in His family who have accepted the blood of Christ to cover who we are, He accepts us, right? So, if God accepts us that way, how should we treat one another? Because we disappoint each other sometimes. Not much. But sometimes. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And if God does that for us, you know, how should we be in the way we can forgive, the way we frame a person and not give the grace? God gives us a lot of grace. He gives us a lot of grace. Do we have compassion and long suffering with people? Or do we expect we just got to, you know, that person should be at a much higher place now? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
I'm going to talk about the other side of this too. But this is foundational for us to hear the second part of this message. We have to be able to understand something. All of us make up part of the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters.
Right.
We can't allow ourselves to be divided off. There needs to be a functioning body that works together.
Yes.
And we don't hold things.
Right?
Right? That's the ideal that we need to work toward. Isn't that right? He doesn't throw us away. How do we respond back to the Lord, knowing that this is how He feels about us? Thankfulness, huh? There's so many mornings I wake up and my first thought is, thank you, God, that You are in my life. You see the problems and situations that happen all around this world, and I don't know how they do it without the Lord. Thank you, God. Nothing that I've done. Thank you, God, that You're in my life and You cover things. And like Sylvia was saying, You pray for things, and sometimes you don't see immediate results, but then God gives you a little glimpse of what things are going to be like in His kingdom. And it's wonderful, isn't it? Because on this side of life, there are lots of trials and tribulations, and things don't go our way. And in case you don't realize it, the world doesn't revolve around you or me. The world doesn't spin around one particular person except for Jesus Christ. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And as long as we got that as a foundation, we can get through the things that are in this world. But we've got to look, we've got to realize we're foolish and ignorant about a lot of things, aren't we?
Yes.
We're even pretty forgetful about things. You have to look at your notes. I have to look at my notes. And I'll tell you what. I know that lots of times, we grab a hold of a message when it happens. As you go through the week, if you don't look at the word again, if you don't rehearse, or if I don't look at the word again, if I get caught up in all the things I'm doing, here I am. I'm like, what was it that I preached last week? I was talking about contending for the faith. But that wasn't what I was preaching. It was what Kathy said. But it was back there in my mind, and I know it was back there in your mind. And you know why? I know things are well for us, but we still have to improve. Is that I see all kinds of growth in people. I know that things good are happening. We can always make it better, though, can't we?
Yes.
So that was something else that I got out of this whole thing about, we still belong to Him. He has a glorious destiny for us. Hold on to that thought. Hold on to it. Fall back on it when things aren't going so well. Because I've sure noticed God doesn't rearrange things for me. I need to rearrange my life for Him. Isn't that how it goes?
Yes.
Makes it a lot better when you finally embrace that and say, yeah, Lord, You're the one that's in charge. You're the master. I'm the servant. Right?
You know, He came back in. Can you tell Him about the world revolving?
Oh, no.
Who?
Rich.
Rich Risden.
Yeah.
Oh, well, some people have even said in this church that the world revolves around them. But that isn't true. And I think all the rest of us know that.
I never said that. I said the world was created for.
Oh. Okay. All right, we're going to move on now. God has a great destiny for us, and He does treat us in an individual way. He's concerned about us as an individual. There is that individual thing that is so important for us not to just think, well, I'm just part of the blob. No, He does care for us in a very personal and wonderful way. So, when messages are brought, you can't talk about every single little aspect and how this is, I want to talk about this, but then, there's also this. And so, as time goes along, you get to hear all the different nuance that God wants to bring to us, right? So it's important not to fall so much on one message and forget that God always balances things out for us. Isn't that true? All right. So,
but nothing he's emphasizing.
At the moment. Yes, that's exactly. Toward the end of that, he says, David says that the Lord is the strength of his heart. Right? Everything about him could fail, but the Lord is the strength of his heart. Right? And that just made me think about, if we're going to remain strong, the Lord has to become more a part of our life. I must decrease, and He must increase. And that's why it's important that we are in this process of growing and that we submit ourselves to that process of maturing in Christ. Because we can remain babies, we can remain adolescents, we can remain in our 20s and 30s as a Christian person, if you understand what I'm saying. But there's the more experience and contact that we have with God, the more that we're being obedient to what God tells us to do, right? The more we grow and mature, and it's good to know you're listening to what God wants you to do and not what you want to do. There's something better about that, isn't there?
Yes.
I am talking to the right group of people.
Yes.
I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you understand what I'm saying here. So, you know, he has to increase. So God is our provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the one that's going to provide for us. So that when we do step out into these different things that we've already started talking about, and we're going to be spreading the tent pegs of our heart to embrace whatever God tells us to do, and if it's something uncomfortable or new or whatever it is, we're still going to take that step. Yes? So we have to realize it's not us. He's going to use us, but it isn't going to be our abilities. We're going to have to step out into places that we don't feel so secure about. And He will give us the strength.
Right.
He will give us His wisdom. He will give us the understanding and the compassion and all the other things that we need to go into these areas that are now that God is now opening up to us. We have to believe that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to. We really have to. So, I want to talk here. This is going to the second part of the message. If you would turn to Jeremiah 12. Steve said something to me just the other day about this verse that I'm very fond of, because I have to remind myself about this a lot. So this is God speaking to Jeremiah. Okay? So David was speaking to God in this first example. And here now is God speaking to Jeremiah. Now let me just preface this reading with what Jeremiah first asked God. Jeremiah asked God at the beginning of Jeremiah 12, "Why do the wicked prosper?"
Mm-hmm.
Why do we see, and we can apply this to ourselves in this time frame, why do we see all this evil and it seems like it's prevailing?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the wicked are not getting their due. Yeah?
Yeah.
And God doesn't answer Jeremiah the way I would have thought He would have answered it. God answers a whole different way. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 5. I've gone to this verse a number of times in years past. This is what He says. If you have raced with men on foot, and they have worn you out, how can you compete with the horses? If you stumble in safe territory, how will you manage yourself in the thickets of the Jordan? Now, what is that saying? What's God saying? What's that?
Say? You've got to be able to handle the little things before He's going to give you the bigger...
You have to be able to handle
what's been given to you first before you can handle something greater, right? And so that told me a few things. You know, everything that can be shaken will be shaken, the Lord says at the end, toward the end of the age, right? Everything that can be is going to be. Now, we receive a kingdom that can't be shaken. Mm-hmm. Also, maybe I need to be engaged in that kingdom.
Right.
So I can't be shaken.
Amen.
Well, that kingdom is ruled by a king. Mm-hmm. And that kingdom, that king, is in my heart.
Yes.
To lead me and to guide me. How's David say it? That you hold me by the right hand, you guide me with your counsel. Okay? All right. So, let's see. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The shaking has already started. But it isn't done yet. That's what I get out of it.
Right.
Oh, you mean it's not going to get over right away? Because I want it to be over?
Right.
Isn't this how it is in our lives? I've just had enough of this, Lord. I mean, we all feel that way at times. Why aren't you doing such and such? Oh my gosh, I don't know how many times I've said that. And then the Lord comes back and says, you ain't seen nothing yet.
That's right.
Things in this world are going from bad to worse.
Yes.
And if you can't handle it now, what are you going to do when it gets worse? Because some of us, we need to see that I've got to step up the game here and be really moving with Jesus in a way I haven't before. In my prayer life, in reading the Bible, in looking, listening to what you are telling me, Lord, day by day, that is really increasing. I think this was a good point that Reggie made. You know, we can hear the word of the Lord and we receive it when it's being spoken, but how much does it really mean to us? How much are we really looking back? And because we're an older congregation, we're going to probably forget a lot anyway. But we can push through that, though, can't we? Or at least we should attempt to push through that. So that what the Lord is speaking to us, it means something to us. And we're going to listen, and we're going to go back, and we're going to rehearse it. Show me how this works, Lord, in my life this week. Let me be more aware of it. I don't know how many times I've preached a message, and a week later, 2 weeks later, a month later, bong, it dawns on me how God was trying to work that in my life.
Yes.
I was ignorant. I couldn't even see what God was doing. Until, you know, later than what it should have been. But once those things happen, then we can really start to embrace it. But it would be much better, much faster, much more wonderful to grab a hold of it when God wants us to grab a hold of it, not some other time. And you know, I just wrote down, we handle this like anything else. So if we know that things are going to get worse. What's one of the first feelings that you have?
Fear.
Oh yeah. What do you mean it's going to get worse? I can't imagine it being worse than this. I couldn't imagine 10 years ago that things that were going on in our country would ever get any worse. I thought, man, that's as bad as it can get. You know what? It's 100 times worse. But somehow I'm still alive and working my way through this. That tells me that God will get, as long as I keep trusting Him and don't give up on Him, and don't have to have it my way, that if I got through it back then, I can get through it now when it's going to be even worse, maybe, down the line here. Because we have a provider that's going to provide for us for everything that we need to get through what we have to get through in this race that we're running. 2 Timothy 1:7, you don't have to put it up. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what?
Power, love,
and a sound mind. And a sound mind, self-discipline. To be disciplined about things. Yet, knowing the final outcome helps us through the dark time. Yeah? Isn't that true?
Yes.
When you know you're going to win, but you're losing at halftime 2-1, but you know that that the team that you're coaching or that you're playing has the ability and always seems to turn it on at the end and gets it done, you have confidence. You know you're going to win. If there's anything that we should know, we end up on the winning side.
Yes.
Don't we?
Yes.
Like the song said, he's the one that wears the victor's crown.
Yes.
If he wins, we're going to eventually win.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. But there's all this other process in the way. And we can miss out on some things. That I hope doesn't happen to us. I wanted to, let me just see if I can find that one thing. I think I might have skipped over it. I was thinking about the song that Reggie had put up there. What was the name of it again?
Beautiful Things We Miss.
You know, here we are serving God. And one of the things that really hit me with that Psalm verse and then this later on was the fact that, you know, I don't want to have to regret that with such a beautiful provision that God has given us. And He's given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness.
Yes.
And I miss it. I don't see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I don't make the connections, and I have a lot of regret in my heart. And this is what I've been doing. I've been reflecting back, you know, and think I have a lot of regret in my heart about not reaching out more to all of you in more ways than I've done before. I have a big regret there, but I want to say something. I can't get those days back.
Right.
They're gone. And that isn't that concerning? You know, you really wanted something to be a certain way, and you look back and you go, I wasn't so hot right in that regard. I'm never going to get that time back. And that was in the song. That was in the song.
And now you're moving.
You know? And yeah. So there's the thing, though, you know, and different things come up. God brings up things in your life, and you look back and go, "Oh man, I wish I would have done that differently. I wish I would have had a better attitude in that regard." You know.
Welcome. I read a book one time that a lady was saying. She was saying that she was always angry at her husband, because he always left, I can't remember if it was a sock or a shirt, he always left it out in the wrong spot. He always put it like on the floor and he never picked it up or something like that. And then he ended up passing away. And one of the things she regrets is how she handled that situation, and actually that's one of the things she missed the most about it, was not going and picking that up for him and stuff. And it really, when you read something like that, it really hits you in the heart to think, like, you know, how we really make big deals out of nothing, and yet we miss these little things, you know? Yeah.
That really came across at the first part of the service, with the songs and the testimony, that not only do we not want to have to regret our relationship with one another, but how about our relationship with the Lord too? Mm-hmm. The many things that we miss from the Lord because our mind goes in a different kind of direction.
How come? That's why now, right in this current moment, the Lord is delivering the truth to the body, all of us.
Yes.
Every one of us is being delivered through this truth He's given us today. Okay? For now and for the future. Yeah. And it says we should not shrink back.
Right.
Why shouldn't we shrink back? Because we are given the provision right now, right in this moment, what you're doing.
Yeah.
This is the current provision for us, for tomorrow, for today, to strengthen the body, all of us, every one of us.
Yes.
Because we're going to be presented some pretty harsh events in our life. We'll call them events, but they are God's handle on us. He'll take us through it all, so we should not shrink back. We need to be boldened and free where we need to be through the truth. And you are giving us the truth. That's what this is.
Amen. Thank you. I think that's right. I mean, any time that you're reading on your own, or you hear a message from a preacher, you listen to something on TV or whatever, and what's being said is you go, yeah, that's right. It witnesses to your heart when somebody's saying something. Then that's something that's for you, that's for me, at that moment. And not only that, probably something in preparation for what is coming out ahead. Isn't that right? So it's important that we stay aware of that and don't just pass it off. Well, God will, no, make it so that it becomes more a part of us.
Amy and Jason calling yesterday.
Oh, hold on. Go ahead, Kevin.
We got a phone call yesterday from our adopted daughter in Alaska. And they usually listen to the message, as it's coming, I guess. But they were on their way to Fairbanks, and they thought, well, this would be a good time to listen to the message from Sunday. And they are going through the exact same thing that we are.
Yeah.
They're moving, and they have a
little congregation.
They have a little congregation. They're leaving that they love. Love, and they're going out into an unknown future, really. They're going to live with one of their children, who happens to have, like us, an extra place to live on their property. And the message that was given on Sunday was exactly where they were.
Yeah.
And to me, it was like
expanding
exactly what Walter was just saying. That God has a message for us in a very timely manner, and He gives us what we need when we need it. So even though we might have missed the mark in the past, He's giving us all that we need now if we just take hold of it. And I love you, Amy and Jason.
Amen. I'm going to conclude with 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Don't you know that when a race is run, only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you win. That's what all of these messages from God is really all about. He wants to give us life and give it more abundant. He wants us to run the race in such a way that we win. Right? Not that we fall on our face, but that we win. Now, I guess I probably should say here, the salvation part's already taken care of. That's what we can be really happy about. But there's another part to this, and this is what this scripture is about. It's about prizes and crowns. It's about doing what God wants us to do, and He rewards us for that. And there's rewards. Here's one thing I don't want to be regretful about. Getting to heaven, making it to heaven, and not receiving rewards because I was too obtuse, too selfish, too all the things that can get in the way, that I missed out on the great reward of His presence and something deeper that I would have in a relationship with Christ on the other side of things because I'm missing out on it now. I didn't develop it now. All right, so let me just finish this scripture here. So, don't you know when a race is run, only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you win. Everyone who strives for mastery is temperate in all things. What's temperate mean?
Self-balance,
self-controlled. Okay, not too much, not too little. You know, you don't get too excessive. You're temperate. You're balanced. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we to obtain an incorruptible one. I wonder what that looks like. I wonder what that feels like.
Yeah.
I, therefore, run in such a way, not uncertainly. So there's a way that we run this race to win, where we're not uncertain about. The certainty isn't in knowing ahead of time all the things that are going to happen and we can figure it all out and write down all the steps that we got to do. The certainty is in Jesus Christ, Him at the center of our lives, us trusting Him. That seems pretty simple. But boy, oh boy, we get tested on that. Paul had certainty because he knew in whom he believed, and he was persuaded that the Lord was able to take anything that happened in Paul's life and turn it to good and make it right. Isn't that good?
Yes.
What a great thing.
Yes, it is. Yes.
All right, I'm going to finish it now. I fight. Oh, we're in spiritual battle, aren't we?
Yes.
Oh, man. I fight in such a way as not beating the air.
Right.
Not just taking pot shots with our prayers. Knowing exactly what we need to pray about and going right to that. Not a general prayer, but a specific prayer that's going to hit the target.
Yes.
I know we pray some general prayers sometimes. I'm not saying that those are all wrong. You know, but bless our daughter in her job today, you know, like on Monday through Thursday. You know, we always pray in a general way, but then we usually get specific then too.
Right.
Specific prayer matter. When we're fighting, it needs to be specific.
Yes.
To have the greater impact in the realm of the spirit.
Yes.
Right? So this is something that's part of running to win. We want to win. Is there anybody here? Steve, did you ever coach a team that was out to lose? No. No. Sometimes you wonder, you know. But really, when you're competing to win.
Yes.
Not to lose. Not to just get a general kind of trophy. What are those things they do these days?
Participation.
Participation awards. Hey, we're participating in the Lord. Do we get a participation award? Or do we listen to what Paul says and say, run in such a way that you win. Be a winner. Jesus has the victor's crown. That's supposed to be for you too, to live a victorious life. Right? On this side of the veil, as well as what's going to happen on the other side.
Yes.
Because the people that are in darkness need that light to be drawn to. Mm-hmm. If we're not victorious, who wants to come to a bunch of people that are bumping into each other in the night?
Right.
Things that go bump in the night. Is that how that thing goes? So he says, I fight in such a way, not as beating the air, but I control what my body does and bring it under subjection. Lest in any way, after preaching to others, I myself miss the prize. There's no guarantee that anybody that preaches has some kind of inside track into the victor's podium. I can say things for years and years and years, but if that ain't really happening inside of me, I don't get any. I'm not going to get any reward just because I'm preaching it.
Right.
And that's the same thing. We're all in that same thing. We have to hear what the Lord wants and then obey. Mm-hmm. The people that hear and obey, they're going to get the prize. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Not the people that just hear. Mm-hmm. Not just hearers only, but doers of the word. Right? Jesus makes that really, really, really clear.
Yeah.
And so does James, right? Let me see if there was anything else on there. So, we must be self-disciplined. We must know the rules of the game. We can't be naive because there is an enemy to try to deceive you, try to lure you away from that good, narrow road that we as Christians need to walk on. We can't just accept everything. We have to be open to everybody, but we're not going to accept and condone things that we know is not right.
Right.
There is a perfect balance there that is really hard to find sometimes. Mm-hmm. But we've got to find that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be just like Jesus that way.
Yes.
Don't we?
Yes.
So, let's just ask the Lord. Lord, we want to run in such a way as to win. We know that you have the victor's crown. We know that we're going to be with you in heaven. We know that you are there to hold our hand, to counsel us, to give us the right direction. Lord, I pray that we're going to be people that take it seriously. The training has already begun, and Lord, we want the training that you have for us in this life to continue. We embrace it. We ask, Lord, that you be with every single person here and those that couldn't make it today. That we would stand at the end and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.